Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Don't Blame Me.
Yeah.
My name's Megan, and I'm joined by my co-host, producer, and the person with the best hair ever. Melissa D. Montz.
Hello. Thank you for the compliment.
You're welcome.
I also enjoy your hair.
Well, it's very dirty. I had an ovarian cyst rupture yesterday, so I have yet to shower after the cold sweats that I endured for hours. So it is slicked back. But anyone who's watching the video can see Melissa got braids, and they look so fucking good.
Thank you. I'll thank my stylist.
They look good because you also look good. So it works. This is an advice podcast, everybody. Hi, hello. We give life-changing, wonderful, amazing advice because we have PhDs. We have doctorates. We are...
A PhD is a doctorate.
I know, as I said that, I was trying to like come up with the third one fast because I was like, well, they are the same. Mensa scholars, Nobel Peace Prize winners. Mm-hmm. What are our other accolades?
Just all the
Teen Choice Awards. Hey, let's be
Daytime
real.
Daytime Emmy, which I hope to get one day.
Anyway. Oh yeah, you will. You will. I feel like that's a dream board vision thing that could happen.
Yeah.
No, for real. We actually have no credentials. What we lack in credentials, we make up for
in opinions.
Yeah, we do. So if you want to call in for an upcoming episode, you can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. International listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. And the requirements for all of the above, you keep it under 3 minutes, you will be cut off. But we ask that you write it down. Practice what you are going to say. You can time it out and be like, oh, okay, perfect. This is under 3 minutes. And then that way you can have like all the information in there. You let us know your age. We really don't need to know your zodiac sign. No offense. I really don't care. I know everyone thinks I do, but like sometimes it's fun to guess, but it just got way out of hand.
Yeah.
We want to know if it's about dating. How long have you been together? Like, give us all of the details. And the best way to give us all the details is to write it down.
I really want to read it. This is a new detail I want to know. It's going to be weird.
Your cup size.
No. How they smell.
How the person calling smells, or how the person.
All of it. Just like an age. I really don't want to know that.
Yeah, don't say that.
No.
If the person doesn't smell like Rihanna, like, I don't want to hear a description. It's not like, oh, they smell delicious. If you tell me, what was the, so that meme going around that like white people smell like milk? Here's the thing. I can't change it about myself, but I will
smell like milk.
Thank you. I'm sure there are times where I probably have.
There are like very specific white people smells, like coming inside from recesses specific. And then one time I was working on set. And three of the guys that worked in the crew, they were in a room. I walked in and it said, it smelled like white little boy. And then I walked out and then someone else walked in and was like, it smells like little boys in there. So I was on point.
There is something specific about like a group of like 30 plus men who are like working all day, mm-hmm. like with like physical stuff.
Oh, no, they weren't even work. They were part of like.
Production.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Because crew, there's a specific smell of crew.
And like, and I give that
yeah,
a pass.
It's like construction.
They're doing such hard work. Mm-hmm. These were people that worked in production.
They were sitting on director's chairs all days and they smelled like that.
Mm-hmm.
Ew. I was going to say another one is unwashed legs because, yes. You know, that's a yes. thing that we've learned. Mm-hmm. And also, apparently, celebrities don't bathe their kids. Cammy Crawford was posting it on her story and she goes, this is some white people shit. And I go, I can confirm, Cammy, I was not washed frequently as a child. Like it is, as a white person, I can self-identify. Yeah. Like, yeah, no, it was definitely not like you're not being scrubbed head to toe with a washcloth.
I laugh so hard because Jodie Turner Smith posted in this house we bathe. And then they've put it in all the articles with the celebrities.
That's
and they'll
funny.
Post her first saying that. And then they'll post Joshua Jackson after. And then it'll just say, see above.
Oh, that's so funny. She's an icon.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we ask? Oh, let us know your pronouns. You must be 18 or over. Have your parents' permission to call into the podcast. Don't call in if you're like doing something like illegal.
Right.
Unless it's like, you're wanting to catch someone who's doing something illegal.
Which even then.
I mean, the vaccine cards, that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
That I mean, it wasn't fun.
I mean, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. fun.
We got some comments.
We did?
Mm-hmm.
From who?
They're on the reviews.
Well, yeah, we hope to hear from you. And what? I mean, if you didn't know, we have a Patreon, by the way, if you want to watch this episode, if you're more of a visual listener. if you're into the visual content, you can see our facial reactions. It's a good time. What's new with you? Speaking of faces, the face in front of me.
I don't think I said it on the podcast, but I recently directed Amanda Gorman's audiobook it's a children's book that's coming out. So I got to work with her last Friday and she's very sweet.
It's insane. You could make a collage of all of the people you've like worked with in the last like
year.
Is it just doing, 1 year?
Yeah, because I started in like when the pandemic hit. So a year and a half.
You could make a collage and it would look like a People magazine.
I know.
Like, it's like really impressive and really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been cool.
Yeah. I'm excited. When do we know when it comes out?
Go to Amazon and it'll say.
No, but that's exciting. And you're moving.
Oh, yeah. I'm moving. Next time we record, I will have been.
It'll be the day after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll still be here, though, because.
Oh, yeah. Well, because we're going out of town for my birthday next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited to be out of town. Everyone's vaxxed. Everyone's getting tests before we go.
I've literally not left Los Angeles since 2020, since February 2020.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, because you left right before everything hit.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, shit's going down. And I was like, man, it's more fun. Mm-hmm. It was me and Becca Martinez being like, I think we're solid.
I saw this week because we had her on Not Too Deep.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
But I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot fucking wait.
Me too.
So, yeah, I'm trying to think of what's new with me. Nothing aside from having a ovarian cyst rupture yesterday, which was a great time. Sarcasm. Excited to, like, live my actual birthday is going to be this upcoming. I need to, like, order some, like, cute shit to, like, put in the house just to, like, make it feel like my birthday. I don't know. I'm excited, though. And I'm, like, also excited to, like, gonna get my car washed. We're gonna drive my car down and, like, probably not the whole, like, not, like, the actual whole drive, but, like, when we're in Palm Springs, have, like, take the top down off of it so we can, like... We're going to get into our update. Mm-hmm. And our update is, I mean, she explains it all, much like Clarissa.
Did you watch that?
No.
I was going to say, were you even born?
I don't think so. Okay. But I know the show. Lily talks about it all the time.
It's Melissa Joan Hart.
Okay.
And it's basically her, like, in, imagine Sabrina the Teenage Witch, but just, like, a little younger.
Okay.
And she doesn't have powers. But then, like, she'll turn to the camera and then explain things. So it's basically just her junior high self.
So just breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Sick.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be down.
Yeah, it's a great show. I watched it when the pandemic hit. I sat down and watched it because it was all on YouTube, I think.
I tried to do that with Boy Meets World. And then there is something just really hard because I was watching on TV. There's something really hard about watching something in like that was filmed on a potato on like a 4K television. It's pretty difficult.
Yeah, I watched it on my computer.
I think I could handle it on my computer a little bit more.
I actually hate watching things on my computer, but I just did it.
Love to see it. Should we get into the calls?
Yeah. Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm 29 and attending my first bachelorette weekend. Because of the pandemic, we will not be traveling out of the country, of course, but instead renting a house for a weekend with a pool. Aside from myself, pretty much everyone in the group is some sort of medical professional. They're a nurse practitioner, doctors, physical therapists, psychiatrists, and so on. With that said, we are, number one, of course, all vaccinated. But number two, they make significantly more money than I do. I thought I was preparing for this, knowing the group, by setting aside $1,000 for the three-day weekend. But I've already spent over $500 and there are still 3 weeks left to go until the trip is planned. So the Bright sister is organizing everything and she keeps booking really elaborate forced group activities like spa and massage professionals coming to the house, a private chef to cook 4-course meals, and everyone has to pay $75 to over $100 a plate, matching pajamas and outfits and so on. After 2 weeks of these incoming bills for the group, I was thinking maybe we were all set. But just now, the sister texted the group again, asking if we would be okay to pitch in and pick up all of the bride's costs. So the thing is that the bride is a doctor and in residency and makes more money than I do and comes from an incredibly wealthy family. So I just don't see how that's fair or why that's even something that's on the table right now. I've been trying to opt out of things like the really expensive massages where I can, but I'm also afraid that I'm going to be left out of a lot of the things that everyone else is doing. I'm just not sure why they weren't, number one, upfront about the cost so that we can make a decision if, you know, we even wanted to go, knowing what it would be. And then number two, why they aren't being considerate and giving options on things such as meals where people can save, you know, a lot more. So the person I'm closest with that's also going is in grad school, and privately she's expressed that she's not interested in spending $1,000 on a three-day weekend, but I have no idea how the rest of the group feels. What should I do? I don't want to be the annoying broke friend in the group or feel left out while everyone else is getting massages and things while I'm not. I've been saving for a travel fund for over the last year. So when the world opens back up, I was planning on using it. I can technically afford to keep spending, but this isn't the plan that I had or what I want to do with that money. We really appreciate your guys' input and what you would do in this situation.
This is 3 days.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, they've got a private chef. They're getting matching pajamas and things like that stuff adds up.
No, I know. But like, I'm hoping the $500 is like including where you're staying. So
oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. I mean, like, this isn't a bachelor party. Like, my birthday, we're doing, going to Palm Springs for my birthday next weekend. And I have two friends who, so one I separately, like, reached out to before where I was like, you just moved. You're spending a fuck ton of money. You have, like, 3 weddings in that month. I was like, I really want you to come. I don't want, like, do you want to come? Like, if you can't, like, cover the cost, like, I just, like, want to know. I don't want to put you on a group chat and, like, make you feel like, but, and then they were like, oh my God, no, like, you're good. Yeah. I don't think I'm gonna be able to cover it. Like, we'll do something at a different time. And I was like, perfect. And then I had another friend who I did was on the group chat and was like, hey, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. And I was like, okay, cool. That's fine. But, like, I didn't call all the shots. I was like, here's all the options that we could do here. This is how much this would cost. Like, I want to get everybody's input for that. But this feels like so, like, wildly, wildly expensive. I don't know. I think, like, trying to, like, swallow your, like, potential embarrassment of feeling like I don't want to be the nagging one, that is such a fleeting feeling versus thousands of dollars in your bank account.
Yeah. I think you and the other girl that's in grad school, I think you should just say, hey guys, I'm at my cap now for my budget, so I can't spend anything else. And then that other girl could chime in and be like, hey, I'm in the same situation. Because I think there's probably other people that feel the same way too, but they don't feel empowered to speak up.
Yeah, I think do that. Say that on the group chat or the email with everybody, and then also reach out to, like, the maid of honor. It sounds like bride's sister or something. Mm-hmm. And say that specifically. And then in that, be like, with the other girl, be like, we obviously, like, love her. And if we had known that we were trying to cover her cost, I've already reached my cap of what I'm at. Like, I wouldn't be able to contribute to help cover her cost. I'm sorry, but blah, blah, blah. So I think, like, having, I do agree that it is not being considerate and it's the cost up front and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I think it's much more considerate to, like, let people know ahead of time how much things are going to cost versus, like, make people, yeah, feel like they have to opt out as opposed to opt in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think having, like, here's a thing that we're going to do in an option, it's available versus feeling like everybody's doing this one thing and I'm not. But I think it's good that you have the one other girl there who's, like, in a very similar boat to you, that you guys can, like, hang out, do your stuff.
I also feel like the stuff for the bride should have been thought of at the very beginning.
That's, yeah, that makes sense to me. Like, you can't make, everything can't be as equally as important, especially when, like, you're working on a budget.
Also, she said that, like, the family comes from money. And if this is a sister that's planning it, why didn't she just get her family to pay for it?
You can't, like, plan this extravagant, lavish, expensive kind of thing. And, like, if you have family money, you have all of that, like, do that and, like, treat everybody to it. And, like, you treat your sister, but, like, you can't be, like, the rich girl syndrome who's, I mean, it is pretty.
It is. It's like, you, that's how you stay rich. Thinking about, but you're also, you're not thinking about other people because money's that you have disposable money.
Yeah.
So you're not thinking about other people's bank accounts.
Yeah. I think you saying that you, like, set aside $1,000 for a weekend is, like, more than enough. Mm-hmm. Like, and you shouldn't feel guilty in, like, having to dip into, like, not wanting to dip into, like, your personal travel budget and all of that, because, like, this isn't, like, the trip you would plan. This is, like, no offense, like, bachelorette parties or, like, weddings or anything, but, like, you are basically, like, you're doing the bride a solid. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, you're paying money for them. You wouldn't be doing this experience if it wasn't for them.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, it sucks that you can't really go back in time or, like, make them be considerate or, like, think of ahead on all of that.
Give a budget before you start booking things.
Yeah. I just think that this is, like, for the next bachelorette party you get invited to up front, just be like, hey, yeah, I am really interested in going. I would love to get, like, an estimated budget or, like, what the plan is ahead of time so I can make sure that I can commit to it. I don't want to have to pull out if it's too expensive. And I want to make sure that, like, I can allocate the right budget and, like, spend accordingly for the things that I really want mm-hmm. to do. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, you should be able to, like, pick and choose, like, would, like, a spa day be really important to you? Is that something that you would want to spend your money on? And, like, if things keep coming up, then you've already put money towards things that, like, you might not want to do as much as the other stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, $75 to $100 a plate with a private chef. I can't. But, yeah, banter together with a grad student. And even if it's, like, awkward the day of, make sure that, like, that's who you're rooming with. And mm-hmm. like, you guys can just kind of, like, together be like,
yeah, I mean, she's closest with her anyway. Yeah. So it seems like they probably are already roommates.
Yeah. Oh, well, best of luck. I hope it goes well.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm 24 and I go by she, her, and I'm going to mainly be talking about my roommate. She's 23 and goes by she, her. For the sake of the story, I'll call her A. I will also include my other roommate. He's 24 and goes by he, him. I'll call him R. For context, we all just moved in together a couple months ago. I've lived with A before during my last year of college. We didn't know each other when we first moved in, but as the year progressed, we became best friends. She's a couple years behind me, though, so once I moved out, she still had a couple years of school left. R is a childhood family friend I grew up with. There were small areas of childhood where we were close, but we didn't become as close as we are now until we both became neighbors after graduating college. Long story short, I moved in with my college best friend and my childhood friend turned best friend. Another thing to note is our work schedules are all different. I usually have to be up the earliest, but occasionally R has to be up early as well. Okay, so here's the problem I'm experiencing. A likes to talk, like talk forever without taking a breath. Sometimes I don't mind it, but a lot of times she includes details in the story that simply do not matter and just adds to the length of time to get the whole story out. R and I have talked about it, truly not in any sort of personal way towards her, just saying things like, ugh, I didn't get to bed until 1 a.m. last night because A was telling me a two-hour-long story. It's worth noting, A and R are both diagnosed with ADHD. A is medicated, R only takes meds when he feels like it. It's gotten to a point where I've started to just stay in my room after a certain time before A gets home from work so I don't get stuck in the story and end up getting to bed too late. But it sucks because sometimes I want to chat just not for 2 hours. R and I have both made subtle comments during conversations like, I really need to go to bed, or can you make this part of the story quick? And she doesn't seem to read those cues. Another issue we've been experiencing is that these conversations are pretty one-sided. For example, I could go, ugh, today was such a bad day, and A would go, ugh, same, and go on and on about her bad day and never asking about mine. Or if I bring up something about me, she'll somehow reverse it to be about her. I started noticing this before we moved in together through our text conversations, and I kind of just learned not to expect any sort of response to what I would express. I know it's not intentional at all, but it can be kind of exhausting having to listen to these detailed pack stories and not getting the same energy return. And I know it's an ADHD thing, but she's also made comments about how she used to dominate conversations, but then became self-aware. So it's not like she's not aware that it's a thing, but she's definitely not self-aware she is currently doing it. So anyway, any advice on what to do about it? I really, really don't want to do anything or say anything that's going to come across as mean because I know none of this is intentional, but I would like to be able to have a quick chat before bed or talk about my day without all of this going on. So anyway, thank you.
This is difficult. I understand in the ADHD way. I definitely have issues, and anyone who listens to the podcast can know that, like, I can, like, beat a dead horse in a conversation, or I can, like, I'm not very concise in the way that I speak. I'm much better, like, I'm much more concise in, like, writing and that stuff. I think this is to, like, a very extreme level. And the same thing when it goes to talking about herself and that, like, both of those things, like, you are correct. They're both ADHD. In order to relate to someone, will, like, think about something that happened in their own life and, like, how that can kind of compare. Because I think that the way to go about it might be the first step is having your other roommate who also has ADHD bring it up to her and, like, can maybe offer her, like, hey, I know this, you do this thing. I do it too. Very much an ADHD thing. Here's something that I've, like, learned to kind of help with that. Would you feel comfortable if in conversations when you start doing this, if there's something that I could say or do a signal that could, like, let you know that that's happening? When we're dominating conversations like that, it can, like, make other people not feel, like, seen or heard or as important. And it's something I've worked on in that kind of a way. Like, a therapist would be able to help with this, and also spending an hour talking to a therapist. You can get, like, your stories out that way, maybe starting a YouTube channel, get mm-hmm. them out in that way. But I think that, like, there is a combination, obviously, of, like, this, like, a neurodivergent thing, but then also you got to work on it.
Yeah.
And, like, it might feel awkward to say something like that, but I think if you are going about it with, like, good intentions, that awkwardness is, like, very fleeting. And I think if someone gets upset, like, you can feel embarrassed and kind of, like, ashamed, like, oh, fuck, like, that makes me feel bad. Like, I feel really embarrassed that I've done that. But, like,
she's been through it before.
That, yeah. Like, that's a fleeting feeling. And clearly she's already heard that before and attempted to work on it. It just hasn't been that successful. But then I would also say at the end of the day, like, if it doesn't get better, this might just be a character flaw that is aligned with her ADHD that, like, amplifies it, or is just a fucking coincidence and it might just be, like, who she is. And it's hard because, like, I've had friends like this and, like, I just, like, take a break from them, or sometimes, like, I don't want to talk to about certain things because, like, then it just makes it about them or whatever. But, like, when it's your roommate, it is a lot harder.
I have a very, like, exact way of saying things and don't really carry on, but I've had to deal with this. Or not deal with it, but have had friends that are, you know, a little bit long-winded, and I've made a joke about it, and I'll be like, Okay, before we get into this conversation, first, if she's not asking how you're doing, that's one thing. We can ask about my day and then we can go on because I know that you're going to have things. But how about you give, like, you know, a short summary of what the topic is and a few bullet points. And I've jokingly said it and it has helped in conversation.
Yeah, because it's not intentional, but mm-hmm. this is what you have to figure out with this girl. If it like is like you're completely self-aware of it and you just don't give a shit, that's a character flaw. That's mm-hmm. not an accident and something that just happens. I say have your other roommate talk to her about it first. And then I would never in any circumstance have it be like two on one and have you both talk to her about it. Like, because that can feel kind of like an attack. But yeah, I think like even joking, like if it's like you say it where it's like she's telling a story and it's like, okay, you've got 10 minutes before I go to bed. You can like jokingly put a timer on your phone. You're like, 10 minutes are up. And if she's like, come on, you're like, you know, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. But I genuinely have to like, you got to learn how to tell stories faster because mm-hmm. like I need to go do this thing.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need me time too. At the end
of yeah. the it's not like an endearing kind of quality. It's not like, it should. And like, that's the part that I'm like, it's so odd because like, it's something I hate about myself that I do.
I am envious sometimes because I'm like, you have a way of expressing yourself in a verbal way, but I can understand if you're giving points to the story that no one cares
exactly.
about and it's not important.
And that's why I wonder if this is like an ADHD thing to her, because like, for me, I don't even necessarily want to give the fucking details of the story. Mm-hmm. But like, if I say something and I like mess up how I'm saying it, or I'm like, oh, I was wearing like a yellow shirt or whatever, I will go 5 minutes. I go, actually, it was a green shirt. Doesn't matter. But like, mm-hmm. I have to fucking say it.
Yeah.
And like, I don't like that about myself. Like, it's annoying. Mm-hmm. So like, that's like, I think any sort of hinting, like I would have picked up on all of the hints that they've been giving so far. And so like, part of me wonders if she thinks it's just like quirky. Yeah. And it's like, this is not.
She's not aware anymore.
Yeah, she could.
Or maybe this is an improvement of where she was.
Oh my, imagine if this is actually a massive improvement.
Also, like sometimes you'll tell stories and I'll be like, I've already heard
this. Yes, and it's helpful. Yeah. That's what I need to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that like at the end of the day, if like he says something to her and you guys both kind of like, and like you bring it up in a joking manner the next time it starts to happen, if there's like no improvement from there, like get a new roommate. Because mm-hmm. like this is her. Okay, we're gonna take a quick break and we will be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we are back from our break, and we're getting to the rest of the calls.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. So I got myself into a situation, and it's completely my fault, but now I don't know what to do. I'm 22, she, her, and me and my boyfriend, who is 23, he, him, had dated in high school for 4 years. We broke up for about 2 years and have reunited about a year ago and recently made things official. His cousin, we'll call Jack, who is 24, he, him, has been a friend of mine for many years, and we recently have become better friends within the last year. One night, me and Jack both wanted to go out, and my other friends who normally go with us were out of town, and my boyfriend isn't a huge fan of bars and didn't want to go and stayed home. So just me and Jack decided to go, and we met up with other friends while we were there. About an hour into us being out and drinking, he started putting his hand on my hip and pulling me close to him, which he's never done before. After the bar, we stopped at his house so he could grab a charger, and we ended up hanging out in his room on his bed watching Netflix. We didn't kiss, we didn't have sex, we just laid in his bed and cuddled, which I hate to say this, but it was kind of nice. He took me home, and the whole drive, he had his hand on my thigh. We ended up talking a lot in his truck. He told me how he's always had feelings for me and wishes he had gotten to me first and all this other stuff. The next morning, I messaged him asking how much he remembered from last night. He said he remembered all of it and still feels the same way as what he described last night and about what we talked about. I explained to him that even if me and my boyfriend broke up, that they are cousins and it would be hurtful to him if anything happened between us. Since then, we've had simple, friendly conversations over text, and multiple times he's asked me if I want to hang out or come over. I've explained to him that I don't feel comfortable doing that because of my boyfriend. We have mutual friends and have hung out since with our friends. I still feel really bad about that night and how I disrespected my boyfriend by crossing the line with Jack, and we've agreed to keep it a secret between us and forget it happened. But since then, I can't stop thinking about how it felt when his hands were around me. I try to tell myself that the only reason I feel like this is because he's giving me attention and that he probably says this to everybody. I've even tried to think of all the bad qualities about him, but so far nothing's worked and I can't seem to get him off my mind. I know there's no way in hell that I could ever be with him and feel okay about it, so why do I have these feelings? Why do I get jealous when he's around other girls? I love my boyfriend so, so much, and before this, everything was perfect. I could see myself marrying him, but now I find myself second-guessing everything. I hate that I'm feeling like this and that I'm keeping this from him, and it kills me to know it'll hurt him if he ever finds out. I just want to know how to get over Jack and stop having these feelings and go back to normal with my boyfriend. I'm not good with tough love, but if that's what I need, bring it on.
Okay. I know you said you're not good with tough love, but if you need it, bring it on.
Here we go.
You need it. You have two options. You break up with your boyfriend and you do not tell him. And his cousin might tell him. Someone else might tell him. It might come out eventually. And it will not have come from you. And it will hurt so fucking much. But you can break up with him and never tell him.
Mm-hmm.
To ensure that he doesn't find, like, that you're not around if he ever finds out you're no more mutual friends, like all of that. Or you have to tell him.
And not only that, but you clearly have feelings for his cousin too.
You do, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. So I don't even know if this is the relationship you should be in anyway. Like, if you want this to continue, like, to be, if you want to be with your boyfriend, you have to completely not talk to his cousin anymore because you're still talking to him regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to come clean about what happened.
He can't forgive you if he doesn't know what happened.
Yeah.
And you cannot forgive yourself you can't forgive yourself while knowing this information that he doesn't know. That's the reason why you're not over it.
And she can't move past it because she's still talking to him all the time.
And you still have the secret.
And you still think about it and you think it was nice. And
Well, the issue is like you, even if you stop talking to his cousin right now, you share something really intimate with him and that's a secret. And so there is always something tying you and him together that it's only you two who know that. So when you let your boyfriend know and you tell him, that takes away that power, that thing that is between the two of you. Like, because you can't, this is where the tough love comes in. Not that the other parts weren't tough love, but like you're saying, like, how do I get over him and how do I get back to normal? You can't get back to normal.
There's a new normal that you're going to have to figure out, but you can't figure that out until everything's out on the table.
If there's any possibility or likelihood that you could completely get over his cousin and like move on with your relationship, the only way that you can do that is if your boyfriend chooses to forgive you and you both are able to choose and move past that. But you can't do that on your own. You can't.
You can't, because you're just going to constantly be thinking about what if. And it's not fair to yourself and it's not fair to him.
No. And then like, you're not the only person who is in that situation. So like you deciding not to tell him doesn't mean that it's not going to come out. And if you stay with him and like that fucking cousin, it's going to be like, I want to blow this up. And it's like, I'm pissed off and I'm jealous. Now I'm going to say it. What happened happened. You can't erase it. You can't change it. It can't go away. Him not knowing it doesn't mean that it didn't happen. And if you so desperately don't want him to ever find out and you can never let him know, then you have to break up with him. Like, those are the only two fucking options. And I think what you should do and the best thing to do is to be really upfront and just honest in the situation. And like, I'm super apologetic. I did this. I feel really bad about it. And I kept it hidden from you. And I'm really sorry. And I think even after that, you need to take a step back from this relationship and not be in this, because you're not emotionally in it in that way at all. And like, you're feeling a lot of guilt, but you're like, you're still feeling feelings towards him. Yeah. It's not just guilt that you're feeling. This like sucks, but you're young. And this has been like a high school boyfriend. And like, it's messy.
It's messy. But also her boyfriend like trusted both her and the cousin. And they went out when he didn't want to go out. He thought it.
Yeah.
That just,
I would be
shitty.
I would be absolutely livid. But you have to understand, when something happens, a secret is not a secret. It's a fact of information that will eventually come out. And when you are the person with the secret, you have the power to decide, I'm going to be the one who says it. I'm going to be able to like have some sort of input in how it's put out there and like how the conversation goes. I'm going to be able to be there for it. And it's not going to be someone else saying some shit. Inevitably, it will come out, and getting ahead of it is the best possible option. Because if you tell your boyfriend, you are not telling him to hurt him. But when his cousin eventually will tell him, he is going to tell him with the intent to hurt him.
Yeah. And what is the cousin? What is he trying to get out? Let's just say that you broke up with your boyfriend and then went with the cousin. Like,
he's trying to make Christmas real fucking awkward.
Yeah. Like, he's close enough that like, it seems like they're close and they're friends. They're not just cousins. They're like actually friends. What does he think is going to come out of all this?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, like, this is like, I hate to do like ageist things in this, and I don't mean this to be ageist at all, but like a 24-year-old dude doing this, this is just messy. This isn't like, you're my one true love. Like, we're going to have to make this work. Like, because if this was, and you guys were the ones who were destined to be together, it would have been done in a way that's like the least catastrophic. Right. But like,
or just like waiting in the wings. Yeah. Until maybe you guys break up.
Has he never seen a rom-com? Right. Like, this is not the one that works out. This is like the beginning of the rom-com where it's like, we know that this isn't the person she's supposed to end up with. It's definitely be the guy we meet 15 minutes in. This is not the character you want to play in your own story. And it sucks. And it sucks. And I definitely hear that like you are
struggling with it.
Yeah. You're ashamed of it and you regret it. But I think for you, it's understanding that like there is nothing deeper to it than like, why do I not something about him? Why do I feel jealous? You have feelings for him and you do. And like, having feelings for one person doesn't mean you don't have feelings for another person. He's giving you attention and like, that's great. But if you were happy in your relationship and you were like so in love with your boyfriend, like it wouldn't matter. And that has nothing to do with your boyfriend. It's not that he's not enough or anything like that. It's just like, in the words of Love Island, your head is being turned and like, you can't really go back in time and pretend that that didn't happen. And I don't think you want to, because like, you're still hanging out with him in groups. You're still texting. Like, you guys had that, the whole thing. And like, you just have to be upfront and honest with your boyfriend. And I think from there, you'll be able to see what you actually want for the outcome of the situation, which I really think it should be just like being single and like taking time away and separating from this group so they can like heal their relationship between each other.
Yeah.
So messy. I hope that wasn't too, I feel like that wasn't too tough.
I think
we could have been way fucking tougher.
And we have been.
Definitely.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. My boyfriend, he, his, and I, she, her. We're both 24 and we've been dating long distance for about 2 years now. We've been friends since high school and we started dating our senior year of college. We went to different colleges, 3 hours apart, and we visit each other frequently on the weekends. But I graduated a semester before him, so I moved to a new city with my best friend and I got a job. And the plan was to keep doing a long distance and he would graduate and get a job in Detroit because he's in the automotive industry. And once my year-long lease was up, I'd move in with him. But the majority of relationship, we were really strong and I really believed I was going to marry him. We even looked at rings. And that was all really great up until about 6 months ago. His first job he got, he was traveling a lot and we went from seeing each other every week, a week and a half, to now every 3 to 4 weeks. He already lacks communication and intimacy skills and the increase in distance has made these issues worse. But because of that, I started to lose confidence in our compatibility. I focus on the negative and nitpick at his shortcomings. It's made me second guess moving, but my lease is up in a little over a month and I'm not sure what to do. I love him, but I also love where I am right now. We're having these issues and he's asking me to quit my job, leave friends and a great city behind to move 6 hours away and with him where I know no one and will have to get a new job. If you're wondering why he hasn't just moved to me, he needs to be in Detroit for his job. And I'm a nurse. I can go anywhere. So I have brought up these issues with moving to him and he just believes that moving in together would solve all these issues, or at least it's like worth a shot. My doubts started right when he began traveling. So I'm not sure if being closer will solve these issues or if I've gotten clarity and we just aren't right for each other. Our main issues are the verbal communication and our libidos are not very compatible. His is a lot lower than mine and it has led to me many times feeling rejected and insecure. So we've had multiple discussions about our issues and a part of me believes that we can make it work because he is amazing and we're compatible in so many ways. But the other half of me just wants to end it because the few issues that we do have are huge, like communication and intimacy. So do I leave behind everything to move and hope we solve these problems? Or should I just try and find someone new who's more compatible with me? I would appreciate any advice you have. Thank you.
You are 1 foot out the door. I've said this so many times, but like, if you are like, should I break up? If it's even crossing your mind of like a logistical possibility, like, hey, I kind of want to do this. I'm second guessing this. Like, do that. You don't really like, when you go through tough shit in a relationship, if like breaking up isn't on the table for you, and I don't mean like a religious way or like divorce or anything like that, but if you're like, how can I problem solve this versus like this doesn't seem like a problem I want to solve, because like, yeah, moving 6 hours away could solve that problem, but do you want that solution?
Right. To me, it feels like, because when we've talked about long distance before, it's always, you know, you have to have an end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like you like the space in long distance and like you would be perfectly fine with continuing to have a relationship that's long distance. And that's not what he wants.
Yeah. If he was better at communication, I think that like, I don't think that this would be an issue or a problem, because I think like, let's say he was great at communication and like libido was very matched and your intimacy was great. You wouldn't want to move 6 hours away and like leave all of your friends and like your job and like have to start all over brand new again. So why would that be a solution to something when like that in itself is a problem? Mm-hmm. Like that creates a problem. But the idea that that's going to be a solution to me is just like a really like immature way of thinking that like,
or you just don't know.
That to me is extreme communication stuff, that you are like, you are so not aware of how communication works that you think that our communication will get better just based on proximity.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's so not it. And it's asking a lot of you in general. But yeah, I think that like the reason why you probably started to feel these like massive doubts when he started working farther away is, I think what happened is, going from seeing someone a couple times a week, like they are a part of your routine in your life. But like when he's gone 3 to 4 weeks, like you are, not that you're forgetting about him, but like you are living kind of a single life and a more independent life. And you're realizing, maybe I don't miss him as much as I thought I would. Mm-hmm. I don't hate this as much as I thought I would. And now the idea of like giving up this freedom that I don't find like lonely or isolating to move to you to just focus on you entirely, that's a lot of pressure to put on a relationship too. I think that this is not it, especially because like you're thinking like, should I just find someone else? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, because like you have the ability to move. And if like my significant other was somewhere else and like I knew that this is who I'm going to end up with and my job is very mobile, then hell yeah, I'm going to go. You have the option and this is something that's just not on the table. Like you don't want it. So don't force yourself into something you don't want to upheave your whole life to go to a place where you don't know anyone, don't have any friends, have to get a new job. Well, work at a new place. You'll still be a nurse. But if you're not going to be happy, why leave?
It's just creating more problems. Mm-hmm. And like that's a, like the idea that he thinks that will solve a problem of communication and like it just won't. And like the doubts are coming because you realize that you can do life without him, mm-hmm. not because like you're like, oh, this communication, it, like, I don't think that's the timing of it. I think that you realize you could do life without him and it sucks to say, and I wouldn't say that to him, but yeah, moving in together should be like an exciting next step that you're both like really looking forward to. And it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And like, you're moving in together when it's a good thing, mm-hmm. and it's not being used as like a tool or like a means to fix something or to solve a problem. Like, I even think that like, if you have the ability to not, a lot of people move in together with partners really early on, like, cause they need to financially, cause leases are up and all of that stuff. And I totally understand that. But I think even I've had friends who've said like, yeah, I wish we didn't have to do that. In an ideal world, we could have like taken our sweet ass time and moved in together when we really were emotionally ready to, and it wasn't a financial need. Like, I think that that's just sets you up way more for success. And if he wanted to continue this relationship and you both did, it would be working on your communication so you can feel comfortable moving in together.
Yeah.
Like that has to get solved before you move in. And I just don't think that this isn't
the relationship for you.
Mm-mm. You wouldn't have these kinds of very legitimate doubts, but I've got faith in you.
Mm-hmm. Let us know what you do.
Yeah. Let us know. I hope it goes well.
Yeah.
Do we have one more?
Nope. Don't blame them.
Don't blame them. So this is where a listener will call in with their own advice based on a previous episode. So what do they give all the details?
They give all the details.
Okay.
Hi, Megan and Melissa. I'm actually calling in for a don't blame them for the most recent episode, which would have been episode 11 of the current season. So I'm calling for the girl who her and her boyfriend were throwing around the idea of moving in with her roommate, but then her boyfriend ended up getting his own place and she's going to be doing school and he has a job and they're 22. So I was actually recently in this exact same situation. My boyfriend and I haven't been together as long as you guys have at the time that we did this, but I can only echo Megan and Melissa's advice. We basically ended up living in separate apartments for the entire time that I was in grad school, which was for 2 years. And so he had his own place. I had my own place. We would go back and forth. He would come over and cook me dinner. I would go over there and we would cook together, just different things. I know y'all have a little bit of a different dynamic because of like your classes being at night, but you'll just have to be a little bit more intentional with your time, probably especially on the weekends would be my best advice. But part of the reason we ended up living separately was actually because of my parents. My dad was like, your boyfriend's not going to be your roommate kind of thing. They're very religious, which is like its own tale. But initially I was like, super upset about this, but we were 22 at the time and now I'm about to be 25 and I'm so thankful for our relationship that we took 2 years to not live together. So definitely recommend listening to Megan and Melissa on this one. Like, I think living apart is actually super good for your relationship, and like having your own space can only help you grow. It's not going to ever hurt you, essentially. To the kind of rest of your call, or at least the beginning of it, when Megan and Melissa thought that you were going to move in with your roommate. Me and my boyfriend just did that, and we've been living with her for 2 months, and it's already not going well. So don't even do that after you live separately. Don't recommend at all. But yeah, I just echo Megan and Melissa's advice, and I love the podcast, you guys. So have a great day. Have a great time. And yeah, just always listen to what Megan and Melissa say. They're the best. Thanks, y'all. Bye.
Wow.
Thank you. That's our new intro. Just listen to Megan. Always listen to them. They're the best.
Add it to the soundboard.
That's a great idea. Yeah. No, I think it's spot on. Love everything about it. Everyone who I know who has like taken that time and space before they moved in with a partner, like, and had their separate apartments, nobody regrets it. Mm-hmm. Like, you never regret taking a relationship slowly and like enjoying each step of the way, but you will regret moving in with a third roommate when you are a couple.
Yeah.
And you know who regrets it the most? The third roommate.
Yeah. Cause it's just like you come home and like if the couple is like there cuddled up on the couch and it's like, is this like date time or like, can I sit here on the couch that I might have bought? Like, it just makes things awkward.
It's so weird. And I'm sure it works for like some people, but like, I can't imagine all three parties being. I think three roommates in general is like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. That should be, if anything, it should be even at least.
At least.
You could have two on two because it's always going to end up being two on one.
And especially when you're like, imagine like they're fighting. Mm-hmm. That's like living with my parents again. I could never do that.
The last time I had a roommate, this has been 5-6 years ago now at this point, but her boyfriend was over all the time. And it was weird when they'd get in fights. Like, I was like, I don't even know this dude. I don't know what his like temperament is. So I started like putting a knife in my room because I was like, I don't know.
Fucking fair.
Yeah. And it would just, and then I'd go out and he'd be like sleeping on the couch. I'm like, why the fuck didn't you just go home?
I hate that.
Yeah, it just makes things weird.
It's college-y. Yeah, and like, and
this woman was like 50.
Yeah. I don't want to see any random person sleeping on my couch unless I'm in college. And even then, I don't want to see it.
Right.
But like, I'm a little bit more understanding. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, hopefully that person in the original call follows our advice. Because now we have another person saying, follow our advice. Maybe that's what our next merch drop should be. Follow our advice. I'm never wrong, unless I am. In which case, I'll just graze on by it. So we hope you all enjoyed this episode. That is it. If you want to call in for an upcoming one, you can leave us a voicemail at 310-694-0976. International listeners, you can send us an audio message at meganpodcast@gmail.com. All the same rules and requests for the calls apply that we listed at the beginning of the episode. We are available on Patreon if you want to pay $1 a month for the video version. That's it. $1 a month. It's like 20, 25 cents an episode. And you can see the video version also helps support the show. And we have a $5 tier, but you can also adjust it to however much you want to contribute if you are a prince or the heir to the, what's the Taylor Swift lyric? Heir to the Standard Oil family name. Is that the? I think it is lyric.
Okay. I don't know why you're asking me.
No, I'm mostly like trying to do it in my head.
If it didn't happen in the...
Who else? The Wayans family? Who else is most funny? Yeah. I don't think there's any other brothers that we're into.
With the Wayans brothers and like sons as well. Because they're all like my age.
Age-wise, so. That works for us.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't know, Melissa and I did go on a deep dive on them a couple weeks ago.
We did.
And so our Patreon, we do live streams, just like Zooms, hanging out all together twice a month. They're really fun. And you also don't have to join. Like, you're more than welcome to join the tier, support the show that way. And you can like watch the uploads of the lives, like figure out what the vibe is like. And then if you want to come in, but I can promise you, we have new people who come in like almost like all the time, and they enjoy it.
This week we had somebody new, and she just hopped right in.
Like, I loved it
there the whole time.
Yeah, she's like, "Hi, I'm new. This is my like deal. This is what I'm about." And it was like, "Perfect, great." So like, it's a very fun, supportive community. And our merch is out.
Yeah, the pre-sale's over, so stuff started getting printed last week, 2 weeks ago from this. It is last week. Very exciting.
We can't wait for everyone to get it, but it's still available. We would love if you ordered it, repped it. And again, if you're a Taylor Swift fan or if you're a therapy fan, dual meanings.
Yeah.
Dual meanings. My new presets are out. They're really cute. They're great. My book is out. The paperback edition of my book is coming out soon. hardcover is also out in audiobook. I did get a surge in sales from blowing up on anti-sorority TikTok after Alabama Rush TikTok blew up. So if you want to get my book, check that out. And yeah, those are things that I have to promote aside from following me on different social media, as well as our TikTok, the podcast, all of our socials.
I do want to say that I love the cover of the paperback, if this is what it's like you.
The blue?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It took a lot.
I may have to, you know, order another one so I can get the other cover.
It's really cute. My publishers finally got a win because I was like, they were like, can we at least put you on the cover of the paperback? And I was like, for sure. So I love it.
Why didn't you want to be on the hardcover?
I didn't want to be on the cover of the, like, the hardcover book because, like, I feel like, I think the book is, like, great if you know me, but I also think it, like, it's not like a very YouTube-y kind of book. Like, it has like...
It just doesn't feel like you.
I know. Well, I am on the back cover.
I know.
I know. I was really set in my guns. I didn't want to be on the cover. And it was like, also, I started the book when the era of like every YouTuber is coming out with their memoir and like, it was all just their face. And like, if I never pick up a book with someone's face on it if I don't recognize who they are. And so I was like, I kind of wanted this to be like a little more. And like, it's so chic and like, you can put it out somewhere. It looks... cute. But now we have paperback and I pretty much always knew I was going to be on the paperback. So like,
okay. Oh, I want to pro.
Yeah. Promote. I was like, did you say it?
One of my podcasts, Behind the Wheels is now back. It's with, DJ and a musicologist, DJ Issa Rae's wedding and like all her events. And he's been on like Insecure and stuff. So like,
so cool.
He's like a big deal. And so if you like enjoy R&B music, hip hop music, black music, our first episode is out and we had my guy Mars on, who is a big producer. So come check it out.
Hell yes. And if you're ever curious about all the many podcasts Melissa does, go to her website or her website's Instagram, mm-hmm. her business, the busiest woman.
I am pretty busy.
You are really fucking busy. Well, that's it for this episode. If you want to go leave a review on the Apple Podcast app, we would appreciate it. And it will help us boot all of those Rachel reviews.
She keeps leaving them. Every week.
Rachel's obsessed with
she
us.
She is obsessed.
She like really is obsessed.
I think she listens to the episodes just so she can pull out one specific thing and then post about it.
I know. I'm
so
like,
she's listening now.
Jealousy is a disease.
I know.
And she is sick.
Please go get a life.
Yeah. And go to the doctor. Chew. Wipe that wipe that little snot. We will see you all next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me. Executive produced by Melissa DeMonts and Diamond Imprint Productions. Edited by Coco Lawrence. Post-production sound by Chris Henry. Production assistance by Melanie D. Watson. Music by Ryan Hunter and Giacomo Picasso.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.